You are Locked On Washington Football Team, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Washington Football Team with your host of the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast, David Harrison and Chris Russell. Today's episode brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Welcome, Washington Football Team fans, to today's episode. New listeners, returning listeners, please, if you haven't already, click the subscribe or follow button. Leave a rating, leave a review from time to time. We read those five-star reviews on the air here. We have some in the chute that we need to get to. We'll see if we have some time today to get to those. If we don't, we will promise you we will get to them eventually. I swear to you, we will get to them. When Chris and I are not here, the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast, you can find Chris over at the Team 980, 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. If you're not from the area, you don't have to worry about that because you can also find that on the Odyssey app, and you can find Chris covering your Washington football team in writing on SI.com. Find me covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Locked On Bucs podcast and in writing over at BucsNation.com, part of SB Nation. You can also find Chris at WrestleMania621 on Twitter. Find me at DHarrison82 in the show at LockedWFTPod. Chris, as we're recording this game, Washington football team head coach Ron Rivera is hard at work watching the Washington Wizards play the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah. So one thing we should probably say, and we're recording this, David, on Wednesday night, is we can probably safely say that Ron Rivera is not making a major trade right now, right? Or signing a major free agent. Now he's at a suite at Capital One Arena again as we record this, watching the Washington Wizards and the Golden State Warriors. It's the first time that fans are allowed back at Capital One Arena in downtown D.C. And Ron actually, you know, one of the interesting things about Ron, and we'll get to the Warriors part of it in a sec, because that, of course, is a candidate for the name. Now, one of the interesting things about Ron, he is, you know, he works hard. Nobody would deny that, you know, but he does have a family life, you know, and I actually think it's pretty refreshing, David. I'll just throw this in. You know, when I covered Mike Shanahan, you know, for his 4 years, you know, he used to get to the facility at before 5 a.m. And on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesday nights, I'd often walk out with him or run into him in the parking lot or whatever. And it would often be, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And that's a really hard life to live. You know, one thing I like about Ron is that, you know, him and his wife will go to downtown, and his daughter, Courtney, who works for the team as well, you know, they'll go to downtown DC and they'll go to the Cherry Blossom Festival, or they'll go to a Wizards game. And I know they've been to a Caps game before. I don't know if they've been to a Nationals game because of all the, you know, restrictions and whatever, but they get out. They, you know, sometimes you need that mental break to make yourself sharper, you know? So that's one thing I like. And the thing I was going to ask you about is, I can't remember if we talked about this, with the Warriors being in Washington, D.C., the NBA Warriors, you know, certainly there's been some consideration for that to be the name. And it was originally reported that Dan Snyder's choice was Warriors, or his you know, and he tried to copyright it, and he did, and he let it expire and whatever. Would you be open to Warriors if that's the way they wanted to go in terms of picking out the new name whenever that process actually happens?
Yeah, I would be in support of it. And I know that, you know, there's definitely a population of people that want to kind of stay away from anything Native American related. And I can also understand that sentiment as well. But when I think of Warriors, I don't think of anything disparaging. I don't think of anything that, you know, that I, you know, from my foxhole would take or would think to be a slight towards, you know, Native American history and the Native American community as a whole, you know, today or in the past. And then especially in the future, I think it's a strong name. It's you know, synonymous with strength and resilience and all that. So I think it carries with it a good connotation and positive feelings. I think the logo is obviously going to have something to do with it. And I would imagine if it's a team name like the Warriors, you're probably going to have a W in there and then some sort of Native American art that, you know, if the organization, honestly, if they do it the, you know, intelligent way, they're going to have a Native American artist create the logo probably for them and kind of ties all those things together. For one, it makes sure there's authenticity in there and community buy-in. But for two, it also, let's just be honest, in the business world, it covers them a little bit from negativity if they can say that, well, this was designed from somebody within the community. So, you know, I don't know. We can have that conversation. As long as it's not done in a way, I mean, that's where you kind of see like the Cleveland Indians. And I don't know, I don't follow baseball as much as I cover some other sports. So I don't know, are they keeping the team name? I know they're changing, or they have changed the mascot from the big right. smiling.
Well, they were supposed to change the team name. Yeah. I believe that is still happening after this year yeah. is what my understanding is. But that may have changed and I may have missed something. Yeah. But yeah, they've gone, you know, change the logo yeah. and the whole tribe thing. And that would be my only problem with Warriors, even though Golden State has changed their logo around, you know, this goes back to Marquette University and offending, I guess, some or receiving a lot of criticism in the Milwaukee area long ago. After they changed the logo, they kept the name Warriors. Then they were pressured to change Warriors. If you're the Washington football team and you've gone to all of this expense and all of this struggle to find a new name, why you would go to a name that previously has been rejected by or offensive to some, even if you have every intention to not offend anybody, right? They had every intention that Redskins was not offensive, that it was meant to honor. Why would you go to Warriors, which again has previously been documented to offend some, maybe not a lot, but some? Why would you go down that rabbit hole again? That's what I don't quite understand if ultimately that's the name that they choose.
Because there's a difference, right, in not being afraid of confrontation and seeking confrontation, right? Like I've always right. said, I've always told people, I'm not afraid of confrontation, but I'm also not a guy that's going to go out there and seek out confrontation, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. so again, if you can kind of see it coming, you know, it's like, why would you ram your car into the deer if you can see it crossing the road?
Yeah.
Like, you right. know what I mean? So I definitely see where that's coming from. And that's part of that conversation that, you know, again, I'm not, you know, a Native American. I honestly only know one person who is, and that individual never had a problem with the team name in the first place. You know what I mean? So that just kind of shows you the differences in the world. But yeah, I mean, from a business standpoint, you could definitely understand why a franchise like this one would probably go a completely different way, which is why I think you see some of the militaristic things kind of coming into it and everything else.
It's going to be a really interesting next year. I can tell you that much. And it's, it creates so much buzz. All right. So hopefully Ron Rivera and his family are enjoying a little time out of the office as the team gets ready for the draft. And we get ready to tell you about our friends at Rock Auto. That's right. RockAuto.com is your one-stop shop without actually having to go shopping outside of your home. That's right. You could do it from your couch. You can do it from your kitchen table. You can do it from your bed, wherever you want. You can go to rockauto.com, fire it up, and whatever part for your car or truck you need, they're going to get it to you, and they're going to get it to you at a great price. That's right. They're not going to treat you any different and certainly no worse than the local mechanic down the street. Why? Because they're not loyal to that local mechanic. They're loyal to you. They want to make the customer service experience as good as they possibly can by giving you the best prices and getting you, again, exactly the part that you need. And if you need to get something in, they'll find it for you. And whether you have a foreign or domestic, an old or new, whatever you need for your car or truck, rockauto.com is going to get it. Again, chain stores have the big overhead that rockauto.com doesn't have, so they can pass those savings on to you in terms of cost. Go to rockauto.com, and when you go to rockauto.com to see all the parts available for your car or truck, make sure you write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us, Box? So they know we send you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
This year, the Locked On Podcast Network is partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL Draft live. Get insight and analysis from Locked On local experts and the Draft Network's national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page to watch live 3-day coverage of the NFL draft starting April 29th through May 1st.
All right, along with David Harrison, I'm Chris Russell. Good to have you with us right here on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. As David mentioned at the top of the show, you can always follow him on Twitter at DHarrison82. That's at DHarrison82. You can follow me at RussellMania621. And just as importantly, you can follow the podcast at LockedWFTPod, at LockedWFTPod. Of course, James Yarko and David Harrison on the Locked On Bucks podcast at Bucks Nation.com. David covering the Super Bowl champions who come to FedEx Field this year, once again, like they did in the playoff game. And you can follow me on the Team 980 with Pete Medhurst, Monday through Friday, 3 to 7. All right, David, let's get to this. I was just kind of like looking for something that, you know, we hadn't discussed necessarily. I mean, there's always, you know, need, best player available, and then names and what have you. If I asked you what the organization's true number one need, no player names, position, or maybe it's something else besides on the field. If I asked you for the organization's true number one need to be successful long-term, it is what, in your opinion?
I think it's linebacker and across the board, outside and inside. And I say that because I've got this kind of theory about football, right? And I think that to be a competitive team in a given season, you either have to have a killer at the quarterback position or you have to have a killer defense. You have to have one or the other. And if you look kind of back through the ages of, you know, NFL Super Bowl champions, they tend to have one or the other, or you have a player or you have a team rather that has, you know, like a Nick Foles who kind of goes on a killer quarterback run. I mean, it has only lasted for a short period of time, but it is what it is. You even look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year. I mean, Tom Brady, you know, was great, don't get me wrong, and he was much improved in turnovers and all that stuff than what the Buccaneers have had in the past. But really, it was that defense down the stretch that really kind of sealed it for the Buccaneers, not just in the Super Bowl, but also in playoff games. So they had that killer defense. Patrick Mahomes, a killer quarterback for the Chiefs the year prior, so on and so forth. So when I look at the Washington football team, are you closer to having a killer quarterback or are you closer to having a killer defense? I think you're much closer in this year's form and in this year's draft class to having a killer defense. So to me, that's where I would focus number one. And when I look at the defense, the weakness is in the middle at the linebacker position. No offense to Cole Holcomb, John Bostic, Kalicki Hudson, all those guys. But really, most of those guys, they're number twos at best on a lot of NFL teams. PFF ranked them 24th coming into last season, and the linebacker group is actually degraded this offseason with the loss of some of the players, and then you look at the age of some of the players that are remaining. So that's where I think you have to get better first.
You know, it's interesting you brought up the Bucs, and obviously I know you cover them, but I mean, everybody should remember this, right? Washington was able to move the football against the Bucs defense, but they were playing without Vita Vea and Devin White, right? As soon as they got Devin White back, and sure, it helped to have Vita Vea back, but as soon as they got Devin White back, and now they're able to keep their core and retain guys and get, you know, grow, they have two studs at linebacker, presumably moving forward, right? And that kind of feeds into your thing is we know how good this defensive line can be. Secondary at corner, certainly bolstered, you would think, with William Jackson III. Safety is a little bit of a question, as we discussed the other day, but linebacker is a real weakness. So I like that plan of attack. One other thing that I wanted to kind of throw out at you here that came up on Wednesday was Samus Reyes, the new tight end. He's going to wear number 80. The uniform number 80. Now, I don't get into uniform numbers all that much. What was interesting to me is they put him in the locker room, like in the center of the locker room kind of area, meaning he does not have his own cubicle lining the outside wall, which generally is not a great sign. Now, he could get that if he makes the team, but does that tell you anything that they didn't give him, I guess, a premium locker space? And I know you haven't specifically been in the locker room, but if you can understand where I'm coming from, like all the players that are pretty much assured of being on the team are on the outside, and the players that are kind of like shaky or their status is up in the air are kind of on the inside, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it means you're a bubble guy, you know, and I don't know about every NFL team. I know, the locker rooms I have seen or have been a part of during training camps, especially, that's essentially what it means. Like, you're the guy that has a temporary locker. Like, when the regular season starts and when the full roster is put in place, those things move out. And I assume Washington football team's locker room is going to be the same. Those things will move out as they trim the roster down. And then the lockers that are kind of always in place throughout the year because they're part of the fixture of the locker room will be filled by the players that make the active roster, and they'll, you know, they'll flip and they'll change as players come and go. It just kind of shows you, like, if you're a journalist and you're in the locker room during the beginning part of training camp and you're looking to write a bubble player piece, you literally go to the middle of the room and you write down every name of a guy that has a temporary locker. Those are your bubble guys, and that's what Samus Reyes is. I don't think it's going to be a surprise to him. It shouldn't be a surprise to anybody else. He's a bubble guy. He's a project. He's, you know, some people call it an experiment, whatever you want to call it. He's never played organized football, you know, at a level that would make you think he's going to be a success, but he has all the athletic tools, which is why he's in with the team, why he's going to get a chance to get some coaching, probably land on the practice squad and see what they can make out of him. As far as the jersey number is concerned, unless there's like a meaning for it for him, then there's really not a meaning of it for me. So the jersey number isn't going to move me unless it's, you know, motivation for him.
Yeah, so many people get into jersey numbers and jersey colors and all that stuff. And specifically, the NFL made an announcement on Wednesday that they've changed the uniform number policy. Defensive backs can now wear number 1 through 49. Running backs, fullbacks, tight ends, H-backs, and wide receivers 1 through 49, along with the defensive backs in 80 through 89. We were just talking about tight end Samus Reyes wearing number 80. Offensive linemen, 50 through 79, defensive linemen the same, 50 through 79 and 90 through 99, which is their traditional, and linebackers can wear 1 through 59 and 90 through 99. Now, look, again, it means a whole lot of nothing to me, but I know D'Angelo Hall, who is number 23 in the NFL, and certainly in his time here with the Washington football team, he would always practice with the uniform jersey number 2. Why? Because it meant something to him. Does this mean anything at all to you?
I mean, it means exactly that, you know, that it does something for the players, and it kind of allows them to stay attached to maybe their collegiate number, you know, something like that. So if you're wearing number I think Travis Etienne wears number 9 at Clemson, and perhaps there's some meaning behind it, so he can potentially wear number 9 in the NFL as well. And, you know, I'm happy for those guys. For me, what it means is it's now going to be a little bit harder to identify the players, because, you know, I've been watching the NFL for so long, and if I see a number in the 40s for defense and you're looking at a safety or a defensive back, at least, you know what I mean? I go back to my days. I worked with PFF for a fairly short amount of time, but I did a lot of evaluating film. And I mean, when you see 6 guys on the line of scrimmage and one of them is wearing number 2, that literally means nothing. That dude could be a D tackle, DN, linebacker, safety, corner. It could be a quarterback in there on a trick play or something. Jersey numbers essentially mean nothing in college as far as an evaluation and analysis standpoint. So that's kind of where we're going towards the NFL. I have a little bit of a get off my grass feeling about this, where I'm like, you know, I don't want to change it or whatever, but it really doesn't bother me in any way, shape, or form. It's just one more thing to get used to as we're watching the games.
All right, that's David Harrison. I'm Chris Russell. We're coming back for one final dance. And what we're going to do is, in our last segment, go over what the Washington football team is looking at linebacker. That's right. We've been doing our three target positional previews. We'll explain a little bit more. And I think we have some matching names to do that and whatever else we can fit in right here on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast.
And we're going to do that today thanks to our friends over at betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL draft is coming up, so there's plenty of prop bets. Basketball action is happening literally as we're recording. It's happening right now. Hockey is in season. Baseball is in season. Betonline.ag even has you covered for awards, TV shows, and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the new scores and odds you need. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. When you do and you make your first deposit, use the promo code Locked On. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus to that deposit. Again, that's promo code Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
The Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 is presented by Locked On and Odyssey, and it's happening right now, featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Ross Tucker, and Brian Baldinger, our local experts for every team making trades and picking the next stars of their team. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. And David, a little birdie told me that our pick is coming up in the Ultimate Mock Draft. Is that right?
It is on today's episode of the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. You can hear who Chris and I picked for the Washington football team, and you can hear all of the reaction analysis coming from a plethora of people. I mean, you are getting so many different angles of reaction analysis to the player that we pick and everybody else picks as well. I feel good about our pick, and I think that everybody else is going to like our pick too. And honestly, Chris, I'm really hoping Michael Irvin has reacted to the Cowboys, Giants, and Eagles picks so far. So I'm really hoping we get Michael Irvin reacting to our pick, because I just would thoroughly enjoy hearing the Dallas Cowboy great praising our Washington.
What if he slams our pick? Would that be okay?
I am in sync with Michael Irvin, and he's going to love our
pick. Okay. All right. I like that. I like the
Well, I guess I say he loved our pick. It's already recorded. So it's not a future thing. It's definitely already happened. But yeah, we'll see what it is. I'm definitely excited to listen to it myself. Again, that episode dropping today, and then the rest of the picks will come out later, and then the ones before us on previous episodes.
Okay, there you go. All right, it's time now for our linebacker positional preview. If you read between the lines, you might be hearing more down the line on this particular area. And we've touched on linebacker, obviously being, you know, that was your number one organizational need earlier in the show. So, David, what we've been doing is taking three guys that we feel and ranking them how they can fit best into the Washington football team. And we've been doing a bunch of the positions as we've gone along over the last week. If you missed safety, defensive line, running back, and tight end, we've covered those in previous episodes. They're all available for you wherever you download and wherever you listen to and subscribe to the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. But today we're going to double down on linebacker. As we mentioned, it was your number one organizational need. So I'm going to ask you for your number one linebacker. And by the way, we're doing Mike and Weak and Strong or Will and Sam all together. We're not separating the positions.
Yeah, absolutely. My number one guy on this list is Micah Parsons, a linebacker out of Penn State. And I know there's some character concerns and some things in his past that might actually make him slide down the boards a little bit. And honestly, if that were to happen, then I think it would benefit the Washington football team. Of course, the assumption being that Ron Rivera and whoever else wanted to talk to this young man had the opportunity to talk to him. I've heard him talk about his past, what transpired, and kind of how it's led him down his path as he's continued to mature. I like the way he attacked it. I like the way he addressed it. He didn't make any excuses, didn't try to avoid it, pass it off to anybody else. He accepted. He admitted. He said, listen, I was young. It doesn't excuse. It doesn't make it right, but it's just the circumstances I was in. I've learned from it. I'm a different person. And listen, there hasn't been another transgression that we know of since then. So that's extremely important as well. And the talent leaps off the field. And you have a guy who can come in, start day one, I think, honestly, as your inside linebacker if you really want him to. But at the same time, I really like his NFL draft profile, because there's an area scout for an AFC team being quoted in it as saying, quotes, I play him at will, 4-3 weak side linebacker, on early downs, and then send him off the edge or in exotic looks on rush downs. I want to see just a little more aggression from him, though, end quote. So, I mean, it kind of shows the versatility that he plays. You really can slot him wherever you want. And if you're the Washington football team, drafting Micah Parsons gives you a day one starter, but it still leaves you flexible to address the rest of your defense or linebacker crew if you want to, and then figure out where to put Micah after your roster is fleshed out.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I want somebody that has the ability to play Will right away, but can eventually convert into Mike. So that's why I'm going to go with Micah Parsons as my number one guy as well. Again, a little concerned about the character issues and the past and the immaturity. You never know if you completely clean that up. Washington got burned really bad by Darius Geis. Listen, everybody is different. Just because a guy has some issues doesn't mean everybody's going to regress and do really bad things like Geis apparently turned out to do. So we should just point that out and give Micah Parsons a chance. So both of us agree there. For number two, for me, I'm going to go Zaven Collins out of Tulsa. What I like about him is how good he is in coverage, how athletic he is for a big man. He's a thumper, about 255 or so, roughly. And I think eventually he's that, again, guy that can eventually replace John Bostic in the middle, maybe in, you know, late November or December of this upcoming year, and be your Mike linebacker for the future, assuming that he is picking up the system and the terminology and the calls and all of that. And if not, he can be a starter and really good for you in pass coverage.
Yeah, absolutely. Zaven Collins, definitely a high prospect. My number two guy is Notre Dame linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. We've talked about him on the show. Plenty of people have heard about it. He's been mock drafted to the Washington football team several times as well, and he could actually end up landing with the Washington football team pick 19 potentially when this thing fires off for real next weekend. And again, addressing that linebacker group, you get another day one starter, a guy who's got some versatility, but really he's a little bit less versatile than I think a Micah Parsons is, but still has a little bit of versatility, still has some room to grow. But I like his potential for explosiveness for this team, and I like the impact that he can potentially make for the Washington football team defense.
Yeah, and for number three, you're going to go with?
Oh, my number three guy is North Carolina linebacker Chaz Surratt, former quarterback turned linebacker. And this is a guy that I honestly didn't know a lot about before I went to Mobile, Alabama for the 2021 recent Senior Bowl. But coming out of the Senior Bowl, you can tell he loves the ball. He loves to practice. He loves to train. Yep. He loves to be coached. He loves to encourage teammates. The guy just has fun out there. Maybe not as much fun as Frank Darby, the wide receiver out of ASU, Arizona State University, has. Frank Darby, definitely the most entertaining player on the practice field out there. But Chaz Surratt showed a lot of versatility himself, a lot of that intelligence that comes with being a quarterback to diagnose plays and to read the field. And he's really just getting started. He's a very raw prospect. I don't think he's the guy, you know, he is a prospect. He's not going to be a day one guy, but he's a prospect you draft. And maybe he doesn't start right away in his rookie season. Maybe it takes him, you know, till midway or maybe even year two, because he needs a little bit more tutelage, a little bit more experience as a linebacker. But when he gets going, and if he gets the right coaching, he's got a lot of talent and a lot of ceilings still left to reach. And I think he could end up being a really strong mainstay for that Washington football team defense for years to come.
All right, so you went a little bit deeper on the board with Surratt. Understandable. I'm just going to leave it 1, 2, 3 as guys that I think are going to go in the first round, because I think it's such an important need. And I absolutely agree with you. It's the top on-field football need, certainly for the Washington football team. So I'm going to go number three, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the linebacker from Notre Dame. Like you said, I do worry a little bit about his size. I do worry a little bit about him being able to hold up, you know, against the behemoths that play, you know, on the offensive line, and whether a 320-pound guard is going to be able to engulf him. But everything that I've seen from him out of JOK is, you know, he seems to have a pretty good knack for using his athleticism and his speed to not only close the gap, David, but also to get around the fact that, you know, he's a little bit light in the pants. And sometimes it's about angles, and sometimes it's about instincts, and sometimes it's about knowing how to get around a block, or how to get to the ball carrier, or how to find the ball in space. And remember, this is a passing league more than it's necessarily a running league at this point. And it's also a passing to the running backs type of league, and to tight ends and guys that he's going to be able to keep up with athletically and maybe be able to run to in space on a diagonal, on a straight line, in the flat, on wheel routes, that type of thing. So I'll go with JOK, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, as my number three. All right, and that's going to do it for us right here on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. Thanks again for you guys for listening, subscribing, downloading, and sharing, and all that good stuff. We appreciate you as always. For David Harrison, I'm Chris Russell. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast.